And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to the second half of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We are in the midst of a conversation about getting beyond the argument. Do you and your spouse argue just too much? You're trying to figure out a way to settle that situation? Well, ask Marcos for information and some guidance. Give him a call at 855-454-5905. Let's go to Sherry calling in from Philly. Sherry, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
So Sherry, you mentioned to our producer you are dating, but you're trying to figure out if you want to continue to have that relationship, correct?
Yes.
So tell us what's going on. How long you've been dating? Why are you thinking about walking away? What's happening?
Well, we've been dating ever since last summer, and, I have a feeling that he's seeing someone else.
Okay.
I just can't prove it. A couple people have came to me with information, and I am a woman of God.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Christian also, but I don't want to walk away because I am in love with this person, but I want to be exclusive because I have so much to offer someone, and I want to be treated, I don't want to be treated second. I want to be the main and the only one. I don't want to be the main one and you got two more on the side. Or that's not, I'm too old. That's not the kind of relationship that I'm looking for. I'm looking for to settle down and, you know, the church, be in the church, have God in our lives, controlling a marriage. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
And I find, like, some of these men today, that's not what they want. And, you know, that's what I'm looking for. And I know I need to be focusing on God because I heard you with a previous caller speaking how we serve a jealous God.
Yes.
And I am in the ministry, so I know that God should be my number one focus, my main focus. And, you know, sometimes as women, we sometimes put these men over and above everything with before we even know it. We do that, and it shouldn't be that way. God should be number one in our lives.
Yeah. And you know, what I think, Sherry, You have the answers. You know the answers, but you're emotionally attached. Let me tell you, the beauty of dating is the fact that you're only dating. And if you are already suspicious, if God is, you know, showing you red flags, you're wondering what's going on, as much as you think you love this man, he's not, you're going to put yourself in a very miserable, miserable position. Because, and I want to share something you probably are very familiar with, but it's Psalm 37. Think is a perfect scripture for all of us, but especially when you are in that place where you want somebody in your life, you are trying to serve God, but you feel that emptiness. You know, you're tired of those lonely nights. You want somebody to spend the rest of your life with, and it seems like everyone else may be having that. And so in Psalm 37, verse 1, it says, "Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun." And then it goes on. It talks about being still and waiting patiently. And, you know, the problem we have, Sherry, is that we get impatient. And I think that's been the common thread we've seen in couples who don't wait or who try to make something fit that doesn't quite fit. And you're dating this man, you already think he might be unfaithful. You can't build a foundation when there's already a lack of trust.
Yeah, that's true.
And so it sounds like, you know what, you want to be with someone, But is someone is going to be okay with just anyone, or do you want it to be a godly man that's going to do ministry with you and is going to encourage you and is going to build you up and help you to be even better for God than you are by yourself?
Okay. Two more things. Now, he was buying me like
really nice. Can you speak up a little bit, Sherry? I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was buying me like really nice things.
Okay.
Expensive things. And a girlfriend of mine told me, she was like, right then and there, she knew that.
He's cheating?
Yeah, because you don't do that in the beginning. You don't buy nice, expensive things.
I don't know that. Honestly, that's a far reach for me. Some people, that's how they give love.
Yes. Okay.
And so it's different. However, does he still do those things?
Somewhat. He takes me to really expensive restaurants and things of that nature.
Okay.
But, and also, like, how do I walk away, though? Like, the feeling of emotion, like you said, I am emotionally attached. I lost my husband, like, over 2 years ago.
Okay.
So I am a widow, and
so you feel very vulnerable at this stage.
Yes, and I'm trying to fill that void. That
well, let me ask you this: Are you intimate with this man?
Yes.
Okay.
And I know that's dead wrong. I know it is.
And I think, Sherry, see that there's the problem, and that's why I'm like, wait a minute, if you're not trusting God. You're emotionally attached because you've already given yourself to this man. You're in sin, and it's harder to walk away when you're in the flesh.
Yes.
And you've put this man before God, honestly. That's what you've done.
I know. I beat myself up about that. And,
and so I have a real simple solution for you, Sherry. Stop sleeping with him, and his true colors will come out, and you will get to know if he truly loves you and wants to be with you or if not. Because that's the issue. You stop sleeping with him, said, listen, and you got to give him a reason, because, I mean, the man's going to be like, what in the world's going on? Yeah, see, listen, I've been convicted about this. I know it's wrong. Look, you could tell him that I said it, but I'm saying it because the Bible says. So you need to say, Jesus said, this is wrong, and I need to follow him. And then, depending on his reaction, you can have your answer. If his attitude is, are you crazy? What's wrong with you? Then you have your answer. But if his attitude is, wow, I've been feeling the same thing. I'm convicted too. Amen. I respect you more for it. I'm sorry. We should have never gone down this road. Let's do this the right way. Then you have your answer right there. So that's an easy solution for you, Sherry.
Okay.
All right. But stop sleeping with that man.
I will.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Go ahead. Spirit was telling me that, you know, so just stop the sex and, you know, I know that's wrong. Okay.
You got your answer. All right, yeah. Sherry. And I hope that you really put your foot down and do the right thing, because God wants you to and he loves you.
I am. Thank you. And
Sherry,
God bless you.
You too. God bless you as well.
All right. Take care.
All right. Let's continue on here with our calls.
We have Ayana calling in from Philly on line 5. Ayana, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, this is Ayana. I'm calling because I just want advice on what I should do with my marriage. I've been married for
Ayana, hold 1 second. We want to take your call, and I want to give you the time you deserve, but we're about to take a break. So what I want to do is I want to encourage you to just wait patiently, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We're taking your call. As soon as we come back from our break, you will be the first call we take, okay?
All right. And with that said, we want you who have not joined us on the phone yet to give us a call at 855-454-5905. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And welcome back. We are Praise Your Inspiration Station. This is Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're in the final segment of today's edition of the program, and we are talking about being beyond the argument. If you are arguing ferociously, or maybe not so much ferociously, you're just arguing and it's getting on your nerves, you're looking for some guidance, give Marcos a call at 855-454-5905.
And you need to call now, because you know how it is. Tomorrow when you're on your way to church and you're going to get into that argument, you're like, oh, I should have called. But we are going to give you some great input, some great advice. We're going to take our calls in just a moment. But we want to remind you, because we don't want you to miss out, we will be having our Be Beautiful Expo 2015, that Saturday, March the 14th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. We're going to have a workshop there. Actually, it's really a panel discussion. You can ask your questions. You can meet us in person. It's going to be really awesome. For more information, go to praisephilly.com. Don't wait. Get your tickets today.
All right. And with that said, we're going to rejoin a call we started before the break, and we will go back to that now.
We lost her. Ayana? No.
Ayana.
No, we got Ayana.
We got her. Ayana.
We'll get her. She's been waiting patiently.
All right, Ayana, you are live on the air.
Hi.
Thank you. Thank you for your patience. I'm sorry we had to take that brief break. So tell us, you need some help in your relationship, correct?
Yes. My husband was incarcerated last week, and he left me with 4 months behind on rent. And I asked him if I could pawn his watch. And because it's worth a lot of money. And okay. He got mad at me. And he keep telling me to call his friends. Because he works at a studio. He keeps telling me to call his friends.
Okay.
Because they have a lot of money, too. And okay. To give me. And I don't feel comfortable because I don't know these people. And I just feel like he cares more about material things than his family.
Okay.
And I just don't know what to do. I feel like every time I talk to him, we're arguing. And He keeps telling me he needs my support, but I feel like I don't have his support.
Okay. So he was, you said a week and a half ago he was incarcerated?
Uh-huh.
He was arrested. Now, do you know anything else? Like, is he going to be locked up for a while? Does he think he's coming out pretty soon?
So far, they're saying like 9 months.
Okay, so 9 months. So you basically got to prepare.
6 more months of school.
Okay. So you have 6 months of school, but you are behind in rent. You have this, you know, an expensive item that you can sell. He wants you to call his friends. I think, number one, Ayana, you're going to have to figure out, brace yourself for the next 9 months. If you don't do something and maybe sell something or figure something out, you might not even have a place to live. So I think, number one, in these situations, you got to figure out what you need to do to survive. Obviously, he set you up to lose. But he is your husband, and you got to make a decision. Are you going to support him and be behind him during this time, or are you just going to try to, you know, do whatever you need to do to survive? And so it sounds like you're asking almost like permission, like what should you do? I think you need to do what you know in your heart you need to do. You got to put food on the table. You got to pay your rent. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, he might get upset with you. I don't know. I don't know the relationship. You're saying you're arguing a lot. There's not a lot to argue. At this point, you got to figure something out. I mean, 4 months of behind in your rent, you could be evicted any moment.
I have somewhere to go. My dad said I can go to his house, but I feel like if I leave, I don't want to be married.
Okay. So are you just trying to step out of your marriage? Like, do you feel like you have grounds for divorce?
Because I feel like he just left us stuck, and he's not trying to help us out the situation. He's making it worse.
Okay, but that's still not grounds.
I don't want to be hurt again.
I got you.
I have to go through this again.
Sure, but you know that's not grounds for divorce. I mean, the Bible is very specific in the times you can divorce, and the Bible says it's really only there are only two ways really. It's if someone dies. And the second one is if you decide, if he's unfaithful, then you can divorce. So has he been unfaithful?
Well, I found out he was talking to other females, but he told me that he never cheated on me.
So was he unfaithful? That you
I'm
know
sorry?
Of. Was he unfaithful? You're saying he was talking to other women. I mean, that's absolutely bad and wrong, but was he unfaithful? And if you're not sure about that, you can't just decide, and basically, I think this is what it is. You can't decide that things are rough and you're just going to end the relationship. You understand, Ayana? Like, I understand things. I can't even imagine being in your shoes. And look, I think right now, he's not in a position he can help you. If he's asking you to do certain things, but you don't feel comfortable, then you don't do it because you don't know. You call his friends. You don't know what they expect. I don't know those situations. But I do know you got to figure out. So if that means you got to go move with your father, then maybe that's what you need to do. But don't have such a closed mind and saying, listen, when he gets out, are you willing to work this out? If he's willing.
He wants to work it out. He said he doesn't want me to leave. He don't want me to leave him, and he said he really care about me.
So. Okay. But it sounds like you're fed up. You just sound like you're just angry. You're disappointed. And those are the worst times to make any kind of major life decision. Does that make sense? Like, it's just not the time. Like, for you to evaluate your whole relationship at the moment where he's in trouble. Now, do you was he guilty that you know of?
I mean,
he's living a certain lifestyle that obviously got him arrested.
Like, since he's been working in the studio, he's changed a lot. Like, he worries so much about his appearance.
Okay.
But he always supported me through school. He took in my daughter, and like a lot of things were good. But
so you have a daughter?
Yes.
All right, that changes everything. All right, this is what you need to do, Ayana. You need to make sure you're in a place where you can focus, you can be safe, you can pay your bills, you can take care of your children, you can finish school. I think you're going to have to, right now, put everything on hold, not mess it up anymore. Obviously, he says he loves you. When he gets out, that's when you're going to need some marriage counseling.
Okay.
All right, you can't do anything right now. Just and again, it's not the time to make life decisions. Things are too turbulent. But once he comes out, if he comes out in 9 months, then he loves you. He's willing to work through the decisions you made, and you're able to work through the decisions he made, even if some weren't good, then you can get some help. And I would love, Ayana, if you could reach out to me, I would love to sit down and speak to the both of you.
Yes, I would.
Okay.
I would love that. But I also have another question. I think I'll have enough to pay everything, but I just feel like I'm being, like, basically broke. And I feel like it's not fair that I have to pay back rent that he was supposed to pay.
I know. And a lot of things are not fair. But what do you need to do to keep the roof over your head?
Well, I can pay the rent, so I won't have an eviction in my name, but I just don't want to be broke.
Well, no one wants
and
to be
my
broke.
And my dad said I can live with him, and if I live with him, I won't have to pay any rent.
All right, so that's where you have to decide which one you're going to do.
Okay.
See, I'm not going to tell you to, you know, pay your rent and then you're broke and then something happens.
Uh-huh.
If you feel like right now the best option is to be with your father and he's making that offer, I don't know your relationship with him. I don't know the situation. But if that's going to be best, then that might be best. It might not be wise to spend all your money. But if it's only because you're doing it of fear and God has provided, then just trust God. I think you know deep inside what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's like a right and wrong here as much as you need to make sure you take care of your children.
Okay.
All right. What you don't want is to come home and there's locks on the door and you can't get in your house.
Yeah.
And then you have no place to go. All right. So I think you sounds like you have a father who cares about you and wants to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And he can be there for you now. And then again, when your husband gets out, you guys are able to work on your relationship.
The only thing is, he said if I move in with him, he said I shouldn't go back to him and I should get a divorce.
Well, I think that's when you have to count that cost and cross that bridge once it comes. There may be reasons he's saying that. All right, Ayana, I would love to have more conversation with you. As a matter of fact, you know, you need to just come to the expo and we can talk face to face. I would love my wife to have this conversation with you as well.
Okay.
All right, so come to the Be Beautiful Expo. Please look for me. We're there March the 14th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. You know, get your tickets. Bring your father. He sounds like a great man. I would love to shake his hand.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ayana.
Thank you.
You have a blessed day.
All right. Take care. Let's go to Kay calling in on line one from Philadelphia. Kay, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good.
So we're talking about arguments and quarrels and fights that we have and why. And I think you mentioned to our producer that you've had some issues with anger.
I've been married to my husband for, we just celebrated our 10th anniversary in November.
Okay.
We've been together for 14 years. And, you know, like any other marriage, things aren't always perfect, and we have our ups and downs, and we get through them. But I think my issue is when I get mad or upset at him, I like, draw back. Like, I get quiet. I won't speak to him. And sometimes it lasts a couple days, I think, depending on whatever the issue is that upset me. It could be a couple days. It could be a week. Never really longer than that, but I think I feel better when I don't say anything because I don't want to say the wrong thing. Because I know when people argue, you know, if you say things, you can't say words or certain things that hurt somebody, you can't take it back.
Mm-hmm.
So my preference is to not say anything. Like, I just get silent. I just don't want to be bothered. And then when I feel better, then I'll talk.
Okay.
So I've been working through this for, you know, for some time now because I am happy in my marriage and I'm happy that we made it this far. And I do want to continue to work on myself with that. But it's just like I fall back into the same pattern every time I get upset about something.
Okay. Well, Kay, a couple of things. Number one, thank you. I think you're in a great place that you want to better your relationship. You're not okay with where things are. You want to get them better. And so I think that's a great place to be, a great start. And so I got to ask you a couple of questions that would help to be able to help you. Number one, what are usually the things that get you angry and upset? And I'm talking about to the point where you go through one of these situations, not something small, but is it usually something big? Is it like what happens that leads you to not wanting to talk for days or even a week?
For me, I think it's big things. And you know, I think everybody value things differently. But
sure, but give me an example. Like, what happens that causes you to get so angry?
A good example of something recent. My husband travels.
Okay.
Not a lot for work, but he's in the military.
Okay.
And he's not active duty. He's a reservist. So, you know, it's a monthly thing and then
sure.
a couple weeks out of the year. But with his civilian job, he may travel like twice a year,
okay.
or a weekend or something like that. And, you know, we really communicate back and forth about stuff, but recently he had to travel for work, and I just felt like he was being kind of vague because I know for sure this company trip is annual, so it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't give me, like, usually he would leave information, like, or just verbally tell me on my flight time it's such and such a day, and I'll be back. I know when he's leaving. I know when he's returning, but I don't know, like, the flight information. Or this particular time, I didn't have the hotel that the company was staying at, you know, where they were staying at. So it made me mad. And I'm like, as a husband, I don't think that's something you should do.
Okay. So basically, you were upset that he wasn't giving you details.
Right.
And any reason why he wasn't?
I don't know, because normally, like I said, he doesn't do that. Like,
okay.
Normally, have to, you know, trips, or they it's actually a meeting, an annual
okay.
meeting.
No, that's fine. Okay. Well, a couple of things. I mean, number one, I think that is a red flag, and it might be a small one. It might be big. It could be something as small as he really didn't want to be bothered and didn't want to tell you. Or it could be a little bigger. It can be he knows it would bother you, and he was upset at something, so he wanted to get you back. And,
right.
you know, and or it can even be even worse. It can be just something he's hiding. I don't know. So, but I think that it is important for a husband and wife to discuss and be open and know, you know. So I don't think it's out of the ordinary for you to ask these questions and know these details. I think, but for you to get angry, see, this is what happens. And we don't always understand this, Kay, but anger, really what it is wanting to be in control. And so you figure, okay, if I anger, if I manipulate, maybe I'll get him to give me what I want. And so that usually it works, but it only works temporarily. It does a lot of damage in the process. So what happens is here you are, you're angry, you know, you're upset, and you start putting, you know, basically a distance between you and your husband. Right. And so here you are, you're struggling. You've been, 10 years. Now, 10 years is enough to already start building some maturity in your marriage.
Right.
Where you can say, all right, I got to fix this. Now, this time around, when you got angry, how long did you not speak to him for?
Well, he just left, so he won't be back. He won't return till tomorrow, so I haven't actually talked to him.
Okay.
I talked to him shortly by text, but...
All right, so you're at least texting.
By the phone, so.
But by the time he gets back, he comes back when, tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
All right, so by the time is tomorrow, are you planning already to speak to him, or are you still kind of harboring that anger?
I am, be honest with you, I am, but I know that's not the right thing to do.
Okay.
I am harboring that anger, but at the same time, I know it's not the right thing to do, and I should be moving past because it has been a couple of days.
Okay. All right. So this is what I'm going to do. Let me share a passage with you. Ephesians chapter 4, mm-hmm. in verse 26, it says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." All right. So what is the scripture saying here? That it's okay to be angry. There are things that are justified, and you could, but in your anger, don't sin. So being angry is not sin, but being distant or being vindictive or withdrawing from your husband, that is sin. Because the Bible calls us to, be resolved and be unified and be one and be respectful. So making sure you're not disrespectful in the process. So then, but then it goes on and says, and do not let the sun go down, meaning that we can't let this just fester and keep going. Now, the good news, I think, Kay, is you know what's right and it's convicting you. And I think you got to figure out, and this is what happened to me. I would get angry a lot at my wife, and but I'm different than you. My anger, I would just say things that bothered me, and I would say them in a hurtful way, and then I was done. I would vent, basically. Right. And so what we realized, though, after years of being married, more and more we learned, is it there were certain things that always worked, and we would either pray together, or we just kind of really, really listen to one another, and then we would get over it, and we realized, you know what? It used to take us days, then it became 2 days. Then one day, and then now really in a matter of hours, we can resolve it. And so the good news is if you grow, you would grow through getting through these things a lot faster. So hopefully the next time you get angry, it won't be days. It might just be one day. And then after that, maybe half of the day. And you're like, listen, I can't go through this. This is just not right. But I think that goes back to communication. And now when he gets back, it's okay to revisit the issue, but not in your anger. And one thing to be careful, don't say you made me angry. It's different to say I'm angry, because you're putting it on him, right? You want to put it on you. You're angry. This made you angry, but you're angry. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think, and coming back, I think your prayer needs to be when he comes back that you're going to be very humble and loving and gracious, but you're going to have this conversation at some point.
So my question is, do you feel like, because sometimes I know I may look at things differently, but I feel like that was disrespectful.
Yeah. No, I think it's wrong.
A husband shouldn't do that to his wife.
Absolutely. I think you have every right to know where he's going to be. Absolutely. But I think it's how you handled it is what made it wrong. I think you want to get to the bottom of it, and it's worth having that conversation. Saying why? Why wouldn't you want to tell me? And then listen. After you ask the question, you know what his reason might be? He didn't feel like it, or he was tired, or he doesn't want to be bothered. But I don't know. I don't know the answer. Only he knows.
Right.
But when you hear it, have the humility to say, well, okay, if it's you don't want to be bothered, then what am I doing that causes you to feel this way? Because I want us to have a relationship where you can tell me, that you want to tell me. Does that make sense? Like you want your spouse to know, God forbid something happens, you need to know where he was.
Right.
But just because of the closeness, I mean, no. So you're 100% right about the situation, but 100% wrong about how you went about it. Getting angry and not talking to him, that's not the solution.
Okay.
That's honestly, that's pretty immature.
I understand you.
So I think in the future, it's like, all right, well, listen, let me put my anger aside. Let's talk. Look, you're married for 10 years. You want this thing to last. So how are you going to make the next 10 years different and more of a joy? Well, you work together.
Right.
All right, Kay. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. And look, I want to hear some good news when he gets back. And are you planning to be at the Be Beautiful Expo?
I really am. I'm supposed to be attending with a family member of mine, and I was going to call her this morning and make sure we're getting our tickets, because the longer we wait, I'm scared. They're not going to. I was actually on the website, and I seen that the VIP tickets are sold out. So
they
I'm
are
okay.
sold out. It's funny how everyone wants those tickets. Those are sold out. So definitely, don't wait. Get there because you know, you want to make it. It's going to be an amazing, amazing time.
I know it is, and I appreciate you taking my call. I really do.
All right, Kate. Well, listen, if you're there, please introduce yourself to me. I would love to meet you. Tell me, hey, I'm the one that didn't talk to my husband for 3 days. All right, Kate.
All right, thanks again.
You have a blessed day.
Take care.
All right, you too.
All right. Again, the number to reach us is 855-454-5905. Let's go to Quachetta, calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Good morning.
Are we saying your name properly, Quachetta?
Yes, this is all right. Quachetta.
All right, Quachetta. So what can we help you with?
Oh, good morning. Arguments in my marriage as well. I'm having some issues. I've been with my husband for about 8 years. Okay. We share children, and we argue as well.
Everybody argues. You know that, Quachetta. Everyone does.
I'm sorry?
Every couple argues. I mean, there's some couples that say they won't, but everyone has disagreements. But give me background. Like, what do you mean you argue? Does it get really ugly?
They do. Okay. And I'm the person. I mean, if I get really ugly, he gets really uglier. But like I said, when I met him, I was not the best trusting person towards men.
Okay.
And he knew that about me. I told him that. However, I think he still feels like I treat him the way he met me. How I do work hard to please my husband. Mm-hmm. I do try to change things around. I try to talk, you know, to him and tell him what I'm feeling and do things that he asks me to do so that I can please him and grow.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not working. We always argue. Just yesterday, I broke everything in my bedroom because I get so frustrated that he doesn't listen to me.
All right, you broke the stuff? Quachetta, you broke things?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I broke a few things. But all that's right. My outlet, so I don't disrespect him. So I don't, you know, be that person that he doesn't want me to be, you know, when he's not listening and we're arguing, my only outlet is to break things, and it makes him not like me more. And I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, how do I stop that? How do I be the person that doesn't trigger him to these arguments? Or is it me being triggered by him to these arguments?
Okay. Well, I want to interject for a minute, Quachetta, and we got to be so careful when it comes to our sin, because it's sinful. And with our sin, and this is what we do with our sin. And I say we because I do it. This is human nature. This is how we justify it. We look at our sin and then we try to compare it with something that we believe is worse. So right. Like, you know, someone that's, you know, abusing drugs, they're like, at least I'm not killing someone. You know, someone that's being unfaithful to their wife is like, at least I don't beat my wife. You know, it's like everyone, when we're sin and we're trying to justify it, we'll look for something we believe is worse. So we could feel better instead of just looking at it for what it is. It's ugly. It's sinful. So in Galatians 5, the Bible is really clear about a list of sins, right? It goes everything from the obvious, the sexual immorality, impurity, but it also names fits of rage as one of those sins. And look what it says. It says, I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Quachetta, your anger, your fits of rage will endanger you from entering heaven. And it's not okay. Like, is it better for you to break something than to hit your husband? Of course, but you don't compare it to that because it's out of control. You're not being self-controlled the way the Holy Spirit, who, if you're a Christian, lives in you, wants you to live. And so you're grieving the Spirit. So how do you do it? Well, instead of throwing things or whatever, let me tell you, it's better for you to lock that door or get in the closet and cry out to God. And tell God, honestly, like, I feel so angry, I want to break something, but not do it. Or go out for a walk, or call one of your girlfriends and say, listen, can you pray with me? or read your scriptures. Let me tell you, there have been times I've been so angry, and all I do is read the Bible. I don't even want to read it, but I'm angry. And then it touches my heart. And then it's like, how can I be angry? Because think about the worst argument you can have, and you read about Jesus going to the cross. I mean, what right do we have to be angry at that point? And so I think it's putting it in perspective. But Crescetta, you're absolutely in the wrong and in sin. And it's going to destroy your relationship, not only with your husband, but your relationship with God.
And my children, you're absolutely right.
And
I am very spiritual, and I praise God. I go to church. I take my children to church, and I believe what you're saying to me. Thank you.
No, absolutely. And Crescetta, God has a better option. If you weren't a Christian,
yes, he does.
If you weren't a Christian, I could say, okay, you have no other outlet. That's your outlet. But you're a Christian. You can get on your knees. I mean, think about this. When things are the worst, like the worst they can be, what better time to get on your knees and cry out to God?
Absolutely.
And you know what I love? And I'm going to leave you with this. The Psalms convict me. Because, you know, a lot of times people love, you know, let me read a nice psalm that's going to encourage me. But a lot of the Psalms are written in, like, really tough situations. While David was in a cave, you know, while you know, people had nothing, the psalmist is just struggling and they're going to God, and you know, that's exactly where God wants to be. When you feel powerless, you go to God. See, throwing things makes you feel powerful. You feel like, hey, that's right, that's my glass vase I'm throwing, that's my television I'm smashing. You know what, God deserves all of you. So you know what you're going to do. And I think you're going to have a great victory if you really look at it as sin and not compare it to something that you think is worse.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
All right. Absolutely. All right, well, Crescetta, are we going to get to see you at the Be Beautiful Expo?
You are now.
All right. Well, look, I'll just make sure that there's nothing around that you can throw at me. All right. How's that?
I will. I will be there.
All right. All right. All right, Crescetta. We
look
forward to seeing you.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You have a blessed
day. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Let's go to Jennifer calling in from Philadelphia on line 3. Jennifer, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning, Jennifer.
Hi.
What is your comment or question for us today?
Oh, man. Be honest with you, I'm like so nervous right now, but
can you just speak up a little bit? I hear you, we could tell you're nervous, but we want to hear you loud and clear. Okay,
is that better?
That's good, thank you.
Okay, there's been so much that has transpired in my marriage. I've been married to my husband for 6 years now, and okay, I'm really struggling with trying to come to a place of reality and what I probably should really do and what's going on, because things have gotten so bad. I would say since the beginning of our marriage, things have been tough. I've been physical abuse from the first year of our marriage, and it wasn't necessarily on my part. I realized later down the line that I may have been abusive, me being like, silent or nonverbal and not speaking, but I really feel as though that has been a result of, you know, the abuse on to me.
Okay. But he was physically abusive. Is he still physically abusive?
Well, the hard part is right now he's not, because he put me in a situation where he can't be. Mm. Like, he got to the point where he had me evicted from my home, and I am nowhere to live. And just been struggling with trying to understand, like, why this happened to me. And I love my husband dearly, and he's really all that I know, and I feel like he knows that, and he takes advantage of that. And
so let me get this right, though. He's physically abusive, but he got you evicted?
Yeah, that's the crazy part. He feels like I've been abusive towards him because, you know, I don't speak to him. And like I said, that's just a snowball effect of my non-trust in him because of the physical abuse towards me and the many women that I know or I feel like he's been with. But he will never, I believe he don't, I don't know if he will ever tell me, because, you know, the one time he did tell me that he was with someone else, he told me that he didn't actually sleep with her. He just went to her home. and fondled her and things like that. And then, you know, God didn't allow him to take it to the next level.
Well, a couple of things, Jennifer. Number one, I'm glad you're out of that situation. I know it might sound difficult, but I think God provided a way out, because I don't care how abusive you felt you were. I mean, he's putting his hands on you. That physical abuse that tops it all. And usually you won't hear me, even our previous caller, like you won't hear me like try to say one sin is better than another. But what he's doing with physical abuse is dangerous. Your life is at risk. All right. So that's first. And then I think number two, you're in such a toxic situation that it's hard for you to even see a way out. And I think you need to consider this a blessing in disguise. So where are you staying now? You say you got evicted. Are you with family or friends?
No, I've just been, trying. I went to a shelter for a little while, but I was just so distraught that I left. And right now, I've just been renting out a room until I can come up with the finances to actually move into my own place.
All right, so you're renting a room. Do you feel at peace?
No, because I think about my husband all the time, because I love my husband, and I don't want to... I constantly think, with us being apart from each other, he left even more vulnerable, and possibly sleeping around, whatever the case is. I don't know. I just know this wasn't what I pictured my marriage to be.
I totally understand that, but doesn't it at least cross your mind that this is very dysfunctional? Where you're in a room, your husband has been abusive, you got evicted. And all you're thinking about is trying to be with him, not even knowing if he's with someone else. Like, there's nothing that sounds odd to you about that?
Sounds very crazy.
Yeah. And I think what you realize, Jennifer, is you've become very codependent on him. Like, you feel like you need him. And you really need Jesus. And I don't want to just sound like that cliche, like you need Jesus, but like literally, like this is the time that you have away from your husband to really think straight and say, is this a relationship that is pleasing to God? Do I need to be there? God, do you even want me there? Because if this man is unfaithful and abusive, I mean, I don't really think I don't believe that's what God wants, but I don't think that's what you truly want in your heart. It just is so dysfunctional and so toxic that you haven't been able to see anything else. So in a lot of ways, this is a blessing in disguise, Jennifer. Because you can clear your mind, you can think clearly, you can pray, you can meditate. This is your time to get strong in the Lord. And once you have that, let me tell you, then when anything comes your way, the Bible says when you are mature, you're able to distinguish good from evil. You're able to say, that's not good for me. This is bad. I need what God wants. And you'll be able to go in the right direction, but you got to get spiritual right now. This is a time to really dig deep in your relationship with God. Do you believe God cares enough that he wants what's best for you?
Yeah.
You sure?
I know I struggled with the idea for some time, but I have no other recourse now but to just turn to him at this point, because it's just been so traumatizing up until this point that it's a struggle for me.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy. Like
you need counseling for yourself. You know that, right? Like, usually I tell people you need couples counseling. You need to get yourself strong first. Because the sad thing is, I believe if your husband called you right now and says, come home, you would go home.
Yeah,
and that's sad. And that's absolutely not where you want to be. Not with an abusive husband, not with the way you've been living. Absolutely not. So I think God is really trying to give you a way out right now so that you can think straight and see things the way he wants you to see them. All right, so what I'm going to do for you, Jennifer, I don't know if you were planning to be at the Be Beautiful Expo, but I want to make sure you're there. So we want to give you your ticket to come into the Be Beautiful Expo.
Wow.
All right.
Okay.
I think you will be inspired. Let me tell you, this is what the Be Beautiful Expo is about. It's about empowering women, really everyone. But it's really going to be an opportunity for you to empower. And you're going to be surrounded by women, some who've been through situations like yours, but they've made it through. And I want you to not just come, but come with an open mind or heart that God is going to bless you that day and empower you. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jennifer?
Okay.
All right, I'm going to put you through to our producer, Larry. He's going to get all your information to make sure that you can get your ticket, all right?
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Do we have one more call, or are we at the end of the show?
We're almost at the end of the show. I know sometimes it's heavy, right? But I think... I'm all jokes aside, I know we joke about, you know, how much fun the Be Beautiful Expo, but it's really going to be a really empowering time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we even throw it there. We do have a man cave for the guys. But let me maybe break down a little bit of what this is going to be. This is going to be a time, and I'm really grateful to be able to work for Praise 103.9, because one of the things that we do is not just, you know, play music. I mean, we stop the music. As a matter of fact, tomorrow evening, we're going to stop the hits from 6 to 8, and we're going to bring you Marriage Beyond the Vows, because we really want to encourage and bless many people. But I'm so grateful that the station, really, those behind the scenes are putting together something like this expo, because we're giving back to the community. And it's very affordable. You might say, well, how much is that going to cost me? Let me tell you. It's very affordable. I think tickets are like $25. Mm-hmm. And it brings you, it gives you access to everything. So you need to go ahead and buy your tickets. Don't wait. But come in and be empowered, be encouraged, be inspired by the different events that we have. Of course, the music. Music is always good for our soul, right? We get the gospel music, even the old school R&B music. I mean, all that, it's great. But ultimately, we're going to have panel discussions like Marriage Beyond the Vows and opportunities. You know, I think you even mentioned, Tiffany, the human trafficking discussion. I mean, things that really are empowering that are going on right here, right around us, and we don't even realize. And so we're going to walk away from that Be Beautiful Expo inspired and really, you know, kind of motivated to want to make our city a better place and better our lives. So the Be Beautiful Expo 2015, Saturday, March the 14th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. Go to praisephilly.com for more information and to get your tickets.
All right. And with that said, we want to say thank you so much for listening. Much love going out to our in-studio producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. And please make sure you join us next Saturday morning for the next edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. Take care.